You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Only in Wisconsin could two guys spend 2 hours debating politics, Packers, and pizza crust and somehow make it work. It's John and Gordy, serving up fresh talk every morning with that signature Madison flavor. Stay tuned. The John and Gordy Show starts now.
Well, I guess the best news is that we're still here. So I think I'm going to play that up this morning.
Good morning to you, too. Rise and shine, shake a leg, up and at them, top of the morning to you. Happy Monday, John Peterson. How are you doing, buddy?
What makes it so happy, man? But it's good seeing you. You know, you survived the weekend. You know, your move in. Have you got all the boxes emptied finally?
Yes. Got all the boxes emptied. I've got everything in place where it should be in each of the rooms in my new apartment. I just don't. The only thing I have yet to do is put things on the wall. I haven't. You know, I have to be very careful with these, you know, things that you put on the wall. You're not supposed to.
The gold stuff that you like to throw around the
mantle. All the fake gold stuff, because I'm dressing it up like the Oval Office in my living room.
It's a big thing now.
Yeah, it's all the rage.
I got to say, where's your piano at then?
You were at my place one time to drop off the first load of stuff.
Yeah. I didn't know where it could go.
Well, you'll have to come over, I guess.
Oh, you know,
maybe I'll have a little housewarming.
It's in the hallway.
It's in the hallway. It's in the living room on the as you look at the hallway.
Right.
Remember the hallway?
Yeah.
It's right up against that wall next to the hallway.
So you don't see it.
Okay. Okay.
No. Wow. You can see it. I'll send you some pictures.
Okay, yes. I love that.
Okay. So everything's all set up.
Do you have a gas range?
No, it's electric. It's got these, it's smooth.
Yeah.
When you turn on the burners, man, they heat up right away. If you look at those burners, man, it's like a psychedelic experience.
Oh, yeah, it's really cool. Sometimes they make them look psychedelic.
Yeah, they look like 3D. I mean, it's really odd, but they work really well.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're very hot.
Yes, they are. They heat up right away.
Yeah, it's easy to clean, too. I don't know if you have a surfacey thing on it. Sometimes you put these little dots on it.
But this is almost like glass.
But if it's smooth, it's like glass and you spill stuff on it and it burns on and stuff like that, you just take a razor blade, straight-edge razor blade, and just scrape it off.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have one of these at one time?
We have one now.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have.
You use a razor blade.
Yeah, you can just scrape off that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of that in my life. Wow.
You don't take the edge of the, you don't take like a corner of it and then like kind of scratch the stuff off. You don't do that. You just use a straight edge. And you just kind of chisel off everything on there.
Good to know.
Plus, they have a range top solution. You have one of those, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a special
detergent of some kind? It's a squeeze-on grainy substance of some sort. Yeah, it's like soap, you know, but it isn't. You know, it's got grain, and then you pour it. You just put a little bit on. You get a little scrubbing pad.
How about squeegee? Could I use a squeegee?
No. Get some scrubbing pads. Non-scratch scrubbing.
Okay, go ahead.
We got to start over.
No, here, I know. Right?
You have been living alone for a while. But anyway, it's a scrubbing pad.
Okay.
You know,
I've never had a stove like this before.
Okay, I know. That's I'm trying to help you here.
Okay.
But don't get, you know, the kind that scratches. Get the non-scratch scrubbing pads.
Okay.
And then you put that substance on. It's a stovetop cleaner.
Okay.
And you rub it in circular ways, and it cleans off the burnt-on stuff. that the razor blade didn't take off.
These pads that you speak of, they're not SOS pads. They're milder. They're not as coarse as those.
Right, right. Okay. SOS pads are like steel wool. Almost.
Yeah, that's too
you don't
much.
Want that. No. You want scratch. The those very flat, okay. rectangular pads.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
It was just Ask John, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
it's a new segment on the show.
Yeah, just... yeah. But remember, get the non-scratch type of pads and then get the oven cleaner. I mean, not oven cleaner, stovetop cleaner.
Okay.
It's very easy to find. You'll find it right there in the...
Right in the stone. Stovetop. cleaner. Non-scratch
it's
pads.
There, man. It's... okay. I have it.
Oh, okay.
And I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. It actually does not scratch that nice, shiny
surface. Well, that's good
surface.
To know.
Keeps it shiny and cool looking all the time.
Because I've always used those smiley face scrubbers. You know those, like, hap smiley
what are you
scrubbers?
Nope.
Okay, well, that's what I always use to clean it off. But
You had a flat stroke out?
Yeah. And that's what I use to clean it off. It's just like a little smiley face. And
you got
it
a texture
all the
from...
Do you know what the name of that is?
I think it's called smiley face scrubbers. That's what it's called.
I've never heard of those.
All right, I'll search it up.
Catherine says, oh, my God, don't listen to John.
Yeah. You, why don't you just scratch it up, do whatever you want to do, chisel some of the burned-on food.
I've only lived there about a week. Yeah. I haven't really used. I used it one time to heat up some water. That was about it.
You can clean it once a week if you want. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
They're actually called scrub daddies. That's what
scrub
I use.
Scrub daddies.
They're called scrub daddies, and they're little smiley faces. And it's pretty much around what you use.
Does it say it's a non-scratch? Scrub daddy.
I don't think it. I think it is a scratch. I think it's a scratch.
You don't want to use scratch.
Okay.
Scouring pads. Okay. You don't want to do that.
Mm.
Okay, good. I'll know what to look for. I guess. I didn't know you had a special solution, though, you should use.
Yeah.
Can't just use
stovetop
dish?
Stovetop solution.
Dish soap?
Well, it doesn't have the grain in it that takes off the substances. Kind of,
okay, yeah. Good to know.
It's like a cleanser, but it's a non-scratch type of cleanser.
Okay.
Which good. I think most of the cleansers are non-scratch now, which is weird. I'm thinking... How is that even possible? cleanser is supposed to scratch everything and rip everything off
abrasive.
The surface, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you'll have to come over and,
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm only here to give advice. I'm certainly not going to help you out.
Well, good to know. All right.
It's a scratch daddy.
Scratch daddy? That's it? Scrub daddy?
It's really
called
the actual government name is called Scrub Daddy.
Government name?
Yeah, the actual full name is called Scrub Daddy. And then they also have, like, Scrub Mommies and Scrub Children's.
Well, I didn't think anybody needed to have this kind of information at this point in your life,
We're going deep in the weeds on this, but Mark from the Sack says, and I trust his judgment, Bon Ami. Remember that name?
Yes,
Bon
Ami. Uh-huh.
Makes a cleaner that has a slogan, hasn't scratched yet, and I've been using the 3M Scotch-Brite scrubbers decades.
That's it. Scotch-Brite.
3M Scotch-Brite scrubbers.
Yeah. Okay. Or you can get generics, too, but, they work the same way. They're non-scratch.
Okay.
And I've
got a couple of cases of those.
Plus, Troy chimed in, too. The next listener party should be a housewarming at
my new
place.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll consider that. It's not that
bring
big,
your Scotch-Brites.
Scrub daddies are scratch resistant, according to Charles in Milwaukee. Boy, a lot of people know information about this. You learn something new every day here.
I didn't want to come across like, just ask Johnny here.
I
just thought everybody knew this.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's good now that you know.
Thank
you. We have a lot of this help here.
I'm
Troy,
glad.
Catherine,
everybody's
Mark.
Listening early.
And Charles.
Weather for today looks nice and clear this morning. It's not as chilly as it was last week, although I did see a little bit of frost on a couple of windshields when I was driving in this morning. It's going to be nice and sunny all day long and high around 59 degrees. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll check in with Pam Yonke. I'm sure she watched the Packers game last night. Did you watch it? You watched it for a while,
watched
right?
Watched part of it, yeah.
Yeah, me too. First half.
I went away angry,
What do you mean angry? Why? Angry at Aaron Rodgers?
No, the kicker. Are you
kicker.
Kidding me?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
The kicker that was on an injured reserve for a while because he had stretched his leg in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Came back, and he missed two field goals.
Oh.
I have a feeling he's going to get cut now.
I mean, it was a disaster, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Packers won.
Mm-hmm. So but 35-25. You don't have a guy come back after a guy who filled in for 2 weeks, never missed a field goal, and made a record, a Packer record.
So you just put him on the bench and bring back the old guy.
Sometimes you stick with what you got.
The new guy.
Yeah, the new guy.
Why not?
Yeah. And this guy came in and he botched it horribly. Yeah. I was stunned. And you know the other guy is now on the practice squad yet or something like that.
Really?
He's back on it. I hope they bring him back.
Okay.
Because I hate to replace somebody who's been on the team and made the team.
Yeah.
But, you know, they would have had six extra points by the time I went to bed.
Oh, wow.
And I could have, you know, at least
slept
had
better.
Sweet dreams. I had the most incredible dream, though. I got to say, you know, I wish I knew how to recall all of this stuff. But I was part of a major protest. You know, we had the No King's Day protest, which I consider a major protest.
Yeah.
I had a major protest in my dream, point by point, detail by detail. Everything was explained. Everything went well. And I woke up, and it just all started disappearing.
Were
I'm thinking, wow, man, this would be the protest to have nationwide. But
were you a speaker at this protest, or
you were
taking it all in? But
just,
they
yeah, just
covered
part
everything.
Of the protest. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah,
yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a big protest coming up though in November. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. It's like a week long. And it stops businesses.
Oh, okay.
Everything shuts off for a week or so.
It's
pretty dramatic.
Well, the government is still shut down. We're in day 27, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, the point of this one is to stay away from the large corporations. Not local businesses. You can still shop there prior and after this protest. But before that, I mean, during the protest, you're not supposed to buy anything.
Major corporations.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stock up, you know, before and then stock up after at the local stores, but not the major corporations.
And that's happening in November.
In November, at the end of November. Yep. In fact, it leads into December as well. So so I think it's the Thanksgiving weekend and the following week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Look ahead on that.
They're kind of scary.
Yeah. We have Pam Yockey coming up in a couple of minutes.
We do.
We're going to talk to her. I'll bet she watched the Packer game last night. Thing that really stuck out to me, boy, these Pittsburgh Steelers uniforms, just ugly as hell. Don't you think?
That was one of the worst, yeah.
I've seen a lot of throwback uniforms that were kind of cool or had something going for them, but those were just butt ugly,
Well, at first when I tuned in, I thought, gee, the Packers are the worst possible uniform ever.
But it was the Steelers.
Yeah, it was a gold. It was a gold uniform.
I know. Yes. Any comments on Aaron Rodgers' performance?
Well, Aaron is he's all cleaned up.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a completely different look.
Yeah. Well.
Almost likable to a point, you know.
Almost.
Well, they tried to make him very likable. Like, they're all buddies now, you know, buddies. Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers,
Did you see him ground the ball, though, and they didn't call it grounding?
Yeah,
that
I know.
That really ticked
What's
me off.
What's up with that? I don't know how they...
Well, that was a forward pass. Are you kidding me?
No.
Throw right into the ground. What the hell?
They let him get away with that. Yeah. Okay, 19 right. past the hour. Next, Pam Yockey from the Midwest Food and Farm Report. Well, join us on John and Gordy on WMDX Madison.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'm getting darker outside. I'm a space cowboy. Bet you weren't ready for that. I'm a space cowboy. I'm sure.
You know where it's at. Yeah, 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 yeah.
At. My wife hates that. It's not at. You don't end a sentence with at.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do. I love that. Yeah. All right.
Steve Miller there.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Dom at the controls and our special guest, Pam Yockey's on the line right now. We're talking what's going on.
Yeah. How about that Packers game last night?
Exactly. That song made me think about how the Cowboys got slapped around yesterday again by Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
that was enjoyable.
Yeah,
I was interested. It's interesting to watch the owner suites in Denver now. You got Condoleezza Rice sitting up there with the rest of the families that jumped in on that syndicate when they sold the Broncos last time around.
Well, I didn't know that.
She's a major NFL fan. She actually wanted to be considered as NFL commissioner before they put Goodell in the spot.
She was in the
White House cabinet, and she wanted to be considered for NFL commissioner, and now she's part owner of the Broncos. So,
wow.
Yep, it was interesting. Yeah. And then the Packers game, so a little sidebar, and I'm sucking up farm time to talk about my other passion. But so the one thing maybe people knew, former U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack from Iowa actually grew up in Pittsburgh. He was adopted. His family is still in the brewing industry in Pittsburgh. So he's a rabid Steelers fan.
Yeah.
So he hasn't, you know, he's been out of office now since the Biden administration left. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, him and I always started our conversations off the record talking about Packers and Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke very plainly.
Yeah.
It was not necessarily audible or for air. We spoke very plainly about our passions and our players.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, I couldn't help myself. I have his personal email. So I shot him an email just to goad him a little bit on how you feeling. How you feeling going into this with our number 12 and all the kumbaya that was going on last week and that type of stuff. And he said, first, that it was good to hear from me. I was relieved to hear that. And then he said that he hoped the Packers had a very successful season, but not Sunday.
Yeah.
So I haven't decided if I want to poke the bear again yet this morning or leave it lie. But if you didn't know that about former U.S. Ag Secretary Vilsack, that's one of his passions.
I did not know that. I'm sure that, it looked good for a while there. You know, Rodgers was doing pretty well, getting some good calls from the umps. Sadly.
Well,
grounding that pass was really egregious, saying, it was a forward pass. And it was grounding, if anything. He was still in the pocket. Well, I don't know how that happened. What the hell?
Oh, they give him that now.
I thought he wanted to make a statement with that very first pass.
Yes.
You know, he wanted to draw a line in the sand and make sure at least the Steelers fans knew that he was in it to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it's over. It's done. It's in our column. I'm fine. He can go on to the next series of dramas that he wants to create for the team. So
there we go. Oh,
nice. That was very sincere. Thank you, Pam.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's talk about the Wisconsin Farmers Union. They donated some pork. Well, tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of important that we remind ourselves if you are not dependent on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, or what we call Food Share in Wisconsin, it's important to remember that by the end of the week, those benefits are going to run out. And if the federal government doesn't get back to work, that leaves about 40 million people nationwide that are in the lurch facing food insecurity as soon as Saturday.
Yeah.
So the Wisconsin Farmers Union decided they wanted to be proactive. We know what a load this is going to be on already, taunt resources at our food pantry. So they donated 35,000 pounds of pork to the Eastern Wisconsin Food Bank up by Appleton. And it's their way of trying to make sure people, it's great to have vegetables, which we do have a pretty good supply of things like potatoes, carrots, onions, but it's also important that people have access to protein.
Yeah.
And obviously pork is a protein. One thing people may not realize, and I laud the Farmers Union for doing this. It was in collaboration with the National Farmers Union and their Farmers Union Enterprise, which is basically commercial entities that the Farmers Union owns and operates that helps generate funds for things like that 35,000 pound pork, and that totaled 175,000 pounds total in five states. So it wasn't just a small effort. But the other thing that I kind of want people to think about is farmers in some communities are dependent on those kind of supplemental nutrition assistance program kind of things. If they've got a lot of kids, if it's a younger family, you know, don't think that just because farmers are involved in food production that they don't fall victim to some of those kinds of shortfalls. So like I said, that's something that people have got to be aware of at the end of this week. If you've got something extra in your pantry, if there's something that you can do to write a check, your local food pantries are probably definitely going to need those resources if they don't kick it back in high gear in Washington, D.C. by the end of the week. And in Wisconsin, like I said, that is called food share. I don't have all my numbers on how many Wisconsinites that will impact, but like I said, it's not about just financial levels. I mean, it is as far as qualification, but when you look at the demographics, you're talking about kids, you're talking about the elderly,
right.
You're talking about people that are maybe working two, three different jobs, but still can't string it together over and above rent. So there's a lot of different things to consider, and I'm glad the Farmers Union stepped up.
It's hard to believe that they would eliminate the SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that leaves a lot of people stranded. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, we'll see what happens by
with
the end
no,
of the week.
And with no no safety net of any type in any other program either.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just about out of time, but it's also International Bat Appreciation Week.
Yeah.
So
right.
Salute.
I'll save that for Halloween Friday. We can go into details
perfect.
Why you should
great
appreciate
idea.
Your bat. Okay.
All right.
Very good, Pam.
Thanks a lot, Pam.
Thanks, Pam.
All
have
right.
a great
guys,
day.
Have
yep.
a good one.
Yep, talk you to you Friday. That's Pam Yonke from Midwest Food and Farm Report, which is coming up next. And then we're into Idiocracy for a Monday. Stay with us. John and Gordy, WMDX.
Tell that Rush Limbaugh, tell Hillary and Bill.
Tell them what
I love my green.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down.
God, I'm so stupid!
Stupid, foolish, gullible, doltish, dumbbell, lazy.
I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. You are fake news.
That's the best stupid thing I've ever heard this week, man.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Okay, good morning.
WMDX 92.7. Now, I forgot to ask Pam the question that Troy wanted me to ask her.
Oh, what was that?
You know, Troy was cruising Facebook, and somebody posted on there, a farmer posted on there, that he's doing better now than he ever did under Biden. And I wanted to ask her that question to see, you know, what the hell he's talking about and what kind of crop is he growing. He's been smoking a little bit too much of that crop.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that is it. Yeah. Well, this is Idiocracy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the food stamp program, SNAP. The White House now claims it's legally barred. Like, you know, the thing is here, do they really care about anything that's legal at this point? Seriously, they don't.
No.
So using this excuse is really just kind of laughable.
Really?
They're legally barred from using emergency funds to keep SNAP running. Oh, yeah, that's right. Just, you know, let people starve to death. Journalists discovered that this directly contradicts the USDA's publicly released shutdown plan. The White House wants to end SNAP, and that is why it's lying, to protect themselves, essentially. The plan from USDA was this. In addition, Congress intended that the SNAP operations should continue since the program has been provided with multiple multi-year contingent funds that can be used for state administrative expenses to ensure that the state can and also continue operations during the federal government shutdown. So it dealt with the shutdown directly in their plans at the USDA.
Wow. Okay.
So for whatever reason, somewhere along the way, the White House said, gee, you know, we're really legally barred. Our hands are tied. We follow the rules.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know, that doesn't matter. No matter what the USDA wants to do mm-hmm. and how they want to fund SNAP, yeah. they're not going to do it. So now the USDA said, you know what? Maybe we were wrong in putting that in our plan.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Axios reported that USDA is not going to tap those emergency funds for food stamps after all, leaving 40 million people to starve.
Yeah. That's pretty so nice. We'll know by Friday. I mean, that's when this all comes down, right? I mean, there's still time to open the government back and.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know it isn't. Yeah. I know it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Hey, there's good news, though, I have this morning. The very first time, renewable energy has taken over and leaving coal in the dust, so to speak. Mm. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
According to the energy think tank Ember, found renewable energy contributed 34.3% of all global electricity generated in the first half of 2025, while coal fell to 33%. So, renewable, 34.3, coal, 33.1, in case you're taking notes at home.
This is globally?
Yes, globally. Ah. The populous developing countries like China and India led the charge in adding more renewable energy. So every time we hear that China is burning more coal than anybody else in the world and they're killing us, they're actually going to renewable energy.
Right.
Okay, and they've always been doing that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Western societies, this is the big story here. Western societies have not gone the green energy route.
Oh,
and, I thought maybe European Union would be a part of green energy. They haven't been part of that. The U.S. and European Union have contributed the most fossil fuel pollution in the world.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, China's really gone. I mean, they've put all their efforts into going with renewable energy in the last number of years.
Now let's get into something really bizarre here. Trump's assistant and director of communications posted this verbal shot at Kamala Harris's hubby and son.
What?
So, you know, Doug Emhoff.
Kamala's husband.
Husband. And their son, Cole, he posted a photo from a No Kings protest when Trump assistant and White House director of communications, Steve Chung, reposted that picture with two words, no cucks. No cucks. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Right. That means you know, if you're unfamiliar with the term, it means weak, servile man, and so on and so forth, and whose wife is unfaithful. And of course, on the right side of the aisle, they always say that Kamala was very unfaithful and that she's very stupid. You know, all things they made up in order to vilify her. Because again, I don't see color, but they do. Just to let you know.
Right.
Can I toss that story?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. All right, now, here.
Okay.
Maybe that was the wrong story to bring up. Cucks. Okay. You haven't used that term in 80,000 years.
Okay.
All right, now, why don't we just go to the Church of Hate? This is something.
The Church of Hate?
Here's a guy who showed up at a church where they were reaffirming their belief in LGBTQ individuals, okay? They were supporting them.
Right.
And this guy did not like it because, you know, he's a real Christian. So let's listen to cut 166. This is him interrupting their service. Let's listen.
But I guess that's why I'm here today. You said Eros calls us to move, right, and get up and speak out and say something. And that's why I'm here today to tell all of you guys that you need to repent or you should all likewise perish. Because are you familiar with 1 Corinthians 6:9? That says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that list that's in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 6:9, right? The idolater, the fornicator, the adulterer, the homosexual, the reviler, the covetous, the drunkard will not inherit God's kingdom. And I'm looking around, I'm seeing all this LGBTQ stuff, and that has no place in God's kingdom. The Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness, right? Hold your pastor accountable to teach sound doctrine.
This is our choice. We have a choice.
But no,
we have a choice.
Yeah, but there's a truth. There's an objective truth.
I don't care what
there's an objective truth. There's an objective truth. And I'm afraid that you guys are on your way to hell if you don't repent. I'm not angry. This is love.
This is love, man. Oh.
You're judging.
You guys, yeah, you're right. I am judging you. The Bible tells me to judge. The Bible said that the spiritual man was.
All right. Well, the guy goes off the deep end, obviously. But, you know, you can't stop these people. They certainly are righteous. But I always call them cafeteria Christians. Because they have chosen to pick just a few things to talk about, and they think that's important.
Cafeteria Christians.
Yeah. You know, they pick and choose,
pick
right?
Pick and choose, yeah. It's like a buffet.
Yeah, where you can you can wear the fiber, two different fibers,
okay.
Which is a sin.
Mm.
You can't do that. Right. And they forget that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up John Fugelsang's book
yes.
So I can come up with some better arguments in that one.
Okay. it's available in bookstores now, I believe.
Is it? Oh, well, that's very nice.
I got to check Barnes & Noble.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Now, this is kind of an eye-opener. Timothy Mellon, he donated $130 million to help pay the $9 billion monthly cost to cover military salaries. Isn't it? I find this very unusual that somebody in the private sector would be paying money into the federal sector for service.
Yeah, that's very
individuals.
Odd.
Yeah. Isn't that strange? Now, maybe it's kind of obvious here because I have more information. He is currently in litigation over his financial connections to the Epstein sex trafficking ring.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So Timothy Mellon donated $130 million to help cover the military's salaries while he is fighting financial connections to the Epstein sex trafficking ring. Well, what do you think? You think Timothy Mellon may actually be buying some favorable approval from the administration and drop that litigation completely, which they have done in the past for other people.
How much? $130 million?
$130 million, yeah.
Wow.
And that's just, I guess, a small price to pay in connection with the Epstein sex trafficking ring. I mean, here we have the House completely on vacation for like 5 weeks, right?
Right, yeah. They just took... like 5 weeks
because they don't want to approve releasing the Epstein files.
Right.
Yeah. Now that's amazing. I would think that once they have to get together and, you know, everybody has to come back, aren't they going to approve it right away?
Well, they have to swear in that
but they'll also have to do that.
Yeah, they
have to
do that first.
Yeah.
What Mike Johnson
it's
says
almost
he's
like
going to do.
It's almost like they're just putting it off, right?
You think?
Yeah, possibly. All right, let's get to Senator Ruben Gallego on what the next Democratic president should do about Trump's ballroom, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there was a tweet, and this is what he's responding to. It's by Joe Walsh. His idea was, any Democrat running for president in 2028 must pledge to immediately tear down and bulldoze and demolish Trump's ballroom and fully restore the East Wing.
Wow.
That's his idea. I kind of like that. But Gallego had another idea. He says, well, to really mess with him, just name it the Barack Obama Ballroom. And I think that will take care of half the problem. You know, that kind of rhymes, right? You know, a little alliteration there.
Yeah.
The Obama, Barack Obama Ballroom.
I like that.
I do. I like that, too. Yeah. Why not do something
sure,
like that?
That would just... His head would explode.
And if Trump weren't spending enough money that they don't want to pay to poor families so they can live their lives and, you know, all of us can afford health care, mm-hmm. he's spending his money, our money, on new plans for a monumental D.C. triumphal arch.
Yeah, I heard something about this.
Yes.
This is somewhere on the mall that he wants to build this thing.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's listen to this. Is cut 228, and he has a different way of saying arch. Let's listen.
Okay.
President Donald Trump has formally unveiled yet another construction project near the nation's capital. Trump is planning to have an arch built that will stand on one end of the Arlington Memorial Bridge, which crosses the Potomac River and connects Virginia and the District of Columbia.
It's going to be really beautiful. I think it's going to be fantastic.
He showed off several miniature models of the proposed arch at a White House dinner party on Wednesday.
Legos.
The arch will feature Lady Liberty on top. Trump showed off three different sizes, although acknowledged the largest was his favorite. The proposed arch bears a striking resemblance to the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, the famous monument honoring those who fought for France during the French Revolutionary and Napoleonic Wars. The project comes after Trump also announced plans to build a ballroom on White House grounds that's estimated to cost $250 million.
All right, there it is.
300 now.
Yeah. So, 350 actually.
Yeah,
350.
Yeah, price keeps going up.
Yeah. So these arches, this arch is gigantic. It's huge. You'll be able to see it for miles away.
Well, could this be like the Spinal Tap movie, where just when it finally shows up, it'll be just that model size?
He called it the Ark.
The Ark.
It was like the Ark Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
You know.
We'll be back with more Idiocracy in just a moment on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, I can't wait to see those arches. Or at least one giant arch.
Yeah.
What a welcome.
Yeah, the one that Trump wants to build.
Truly.
Near Arlington. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is 6:52.
See, he was talking about building the ark. Okay,
well,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not an ark. He was calling it an ark. And I was thinking, wait a minute, we're like, building the ark? Are we going to get a lot of rain in the future?
Ark.
Yeah, no one's telling us.
I didn't think about that.
What the heck? Yeah. He doesn't even know how to say the word, and he's got like three models that he's flashing everybody.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about what Don has.
In just a moment, mention 92.7 WMDX. It's John and Gordy. And weather for today, clear skies this morning, 37 degrees currently, highs near 59. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Sharon Bowie. He's with the Criminal Legal System Reform Group called Moses, and we'll find out all about that. They have a fundraiser coming up. We'll talk to Sharon in our next hour. Got a couple of phone calls.
We do. I just want to get to the quick text here from Don. Good morning, gentlemen. Let us not forget who votes against SNAP programs and other people helping programs is always the Republicans. We cannot stress enough, Republican legislators are bad Republicans and won't help the people. Are only out for the ultra-rich, no question. You're absolutely right. And, we've got to hold our feet to the fire on that. Let's go to the phones right now, then. We've got Joe. Joe, welcome.
Good morning.
Oh, well, I would certainly agree with the sentiments of Don. I think it's the richy rich that are doing real well.
Just a little.
And I love the idea of the names. I mean, number one, I think that Trump is having a problem. He's saying arc instead of arch because he's thinking of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. It's
right.
Like it's a different language.
It is a different name completely, yes.
Yeah. And I heard somebody suggest that instead of calling it because he wants to name it after himself, the President Trump Ballroom, I think the Bribery Ballroom would fit really, really well.
Yes.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It does bring this interesting problem with names now, because if you tear down the East Wing, what's the deal with the West Wing? You know, is it time to rename that the President Trump Wing? You know, so he's a ballroom and a wing. I don't know. But I think what's interesting is they start digging through this, the realization of what the heck was going on here, because it seems like he keeps adding the number of people that will be able to fit into the ballroom. Now it's gone up from 1,000 to 1,300, and any event planner will tell you, you know, the previous ballroom was at 200. So why is he doing this? Why is he doing this ballroom? And it's, people have said it's interesting to look at the fact that there's an President Operations Center under what had been the East Wing and is presently still there. And he has said several times, the military is going to be really involved with this ballroom. What's the military doing with the ballroom? Yeah. Well, they're not involved with the ballroom. They're involved in what is going to be below the ballroom, which is an expansion and a bunker-like kind of addition to this. We don't know how much is being spent on that and who's paying for it. Because as you've noted, the amount spent on this ballroom or spending on this ballroom has gone from 200 to 300 $150 million in no time at all, in like 3 weeks, you know?
I mean,
if you had a kitchen remodel that went by that, you'd be really angry.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, maybe he's putting in a nice kitchen now. Better one than they thought.
Okay. So at any rate, I think we've just started figuring out, if we figure out, what the heck is actually being built here and who's paying for it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Joe. And let's go to Matt. Mm-hmm. What do you got for us, Matt?
Good morning.
Morning, guys. I went to make the call, and I think you might have said what I was going to say, which I'd like to see the arch in the Spinal Tap version where it's a miniature.
Yes, I know. Yes.
But I also want to say, like, here we are with the Republicans yet again trying to start an illegal war over oil.
Yep.
Yes.
We've seen that before. That never works out well. And then we just need to rub it in every time we can that this whole administration is about robbery and stealing money from us.
Yeah.
They're stealing it through cutting Social Security, which we've all paid into. Yeah. They're stealing it through Bitcoin and all this bribery happening. And some of this Bitcoin stuff and the cons is coming from countries and families who've killed Americans, like 9/11, all the terrorism supported out there. I mean, it's just disgusting.
It is. Yeah, they're going after Venezuela. Day. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they want to start a war.
They do. Yeah. They definitely do want to do that.
Matt, thank you for that call.
Thanks, Matt.
608-879-8255 is our number. Okay.
Well, this was unsettling information. Ex-DHS officials have warned that Trump's whole of government revenge tour won't stop. They're going after everything.
Yeah.
New reporting from Reuters reveals that Donald Trump has assembled dozens of officials across the federal government, including the FBI, CIA, Department of Homeland Security, to seek retribution against his perceived political enemies. Ambassador Norm Eisen and Miles Taylor, former chief of staff at DHS, joined the weeknight, and they discussed all about that the takeover, and they're out to get everybody that's in government, was in government, and they're going to go after him.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Revenge.
This. Yeah.
It's retribution.
Now, I think, and this is what I've been telling Democrats to do, and that is to threaten the Republicans. Threaten them. If they want to do something, then threaten that we will investigate what they're doing to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And if they're not, they're going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we're not threatening them with follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look into everything you're doing to make sure that it is legal. If it isn't, you're going to be going up the river.
Up the river. Going to the Hooskow. You're going behind bars, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty tough talk there, man.
It is 6:59. We've got news coming up, as well as a weather update, and sports. And in our next hour, we'll talk to Sharon Bowie about the Moses Organization. We'll find out all about that. Madison Organizing in Strength, Equity, and Solidarity.
And we also be talking about Turning Point USA as well.
It's all coming up on John and Gordy. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.